atheists, agnostics, long-haired weirdos, short-haired weirdos, vandals, hooligans.
The government, hug the government, love. The government, hug the government, love. The government, hug the government, love.
Welcome to The Politics Guys, a place for bipartisan, rational, and civil debate on American politics and policy. I'm Northern Kentucky University political scientist Michael Baranowski. I'm joined today by my conservative counterpart, Cleveland area attorney, and yes, he's a reluctant ultra-crepidarian, but he's also a defender of freedom. He can be many things at once. He is, of course, Jay Carson.
Thank you, Mike. Even more reluctant after last week. I got pulled into all kinds of decrepitude.
We just finished recording an extended regular episode, and we both got a little worked out. It's kind of fun. We do that every once in a while. So it's been a weird week for me, Jay. I mentioned to you, and some listeners know, that we just got a new dog. And when you bring a new dog into the house, everything's just chaos for the first day or so or something like that. And it's just been ridiculously chaotic. We just brought him home. Fergus is his name. He's a lab mix, and it's been rough. So if I'm a little off kilter, I'm going to say it's Fergus related, but we needed to do something, because after Bertram died a few weeks ago, our pack was down to just myself, my wife, and two dogs. And she pointed out, it's not right when they don't outnumber us. So now we have a proper pack of three again. So I'm a little frazzled, but here I am.
All right. So I'm going to lead off our first story. This was something we were supposed to do on the regular show, but then, you know, crepitude crept in. We'll have to look that up if I'm using that correctly. The saga of Texas and the border and Senate Bill 4 last week saw a lot of judicial ups and downs and a lot of wailing and gnashing of teeth. And I'm here to help sort it out for you. What initially happened, I'm sure loyal listeners will remember, Texas passed what's called Senate Bill 4, which would allow the state to arrest and deport illegal immigrants, among other things. But that's the big gist of it. The Biden administration sued, claiming that no, Texas, you can't do this because only the federal government can do this. Federal government is in charge of immigration policy, and the sovereignty clause of the Constitution says that the federal government is sovereign in these matters. The district court judge in Texas agreed and stayed the enforcement of Senate Bill 4, at which point the state appealed and it went to the Fifth Circuit. Now, the Fifth Circuit at that point issued what was called an administrative stay of the lower court's ruling. If you're still with me, now Texas could enforce its Senate Bill 4. Several hours later, the Biden administration went to the Supreme Court seeking to use the shadow docket to block enforcement. And the court said no. The court sent it back to the Fifth Circuit. And the decision was not unanimous, but I'll get to that in a second. There were concurrences by Justice Barrett writing, saying, listen, this is different than what would be a stay pending appeal, meaning this is the administrative stay is simply a 30-second timeout to let the court sort of get its bearings and set up a time by which it can hear the case in an orderly manner, right? You set a briefing schedule, set an argument schedule, that sort of thing. And administrative stays are typically meant to be those very short administrative stays. They're not made on the merits. So then what happened after that? Sotomayor and Jackson dissented, and we can talk about that in a minute, but it sort of all turns out the same anyway, because then it goes back to the Fifth Circuit, who then did enter the injunction on the merits pending appeal in a 2-1 decision. So we're kind of back where we started from with Senate Bill 4 is not enforceable, with a very brief but what got a lot of people excited, Supreme Court visit, which made the legislation enforceable for about 6 hours or so. And now we're back. So this is why, friends who are ever, you know, taking the LSAT, there are so many questions that are all like double, triple negative type questions. because that's what we do. We've got the sort of reversal of a stay of non-enforcement.
It's confusing.
Thing going on here.
You know, I guess, Jay.
Was that clear enough?
Yeah, no, I think so. Absolutely. There's a lot to follow. And before we get to the actual law and the merits, one of my first questions, what the hell's going on at the Fifth Circuit? It's like, are they taking long lunches? Or because, like you said, it's pretty clear that in her concurrence, Justice Barrett was like, Fifth Circuit, you guys need to get on it. These administrative stays are not supposed to be sort of quasi stays pending appeal, and you're kind of abusing the privilege, and don't make us kind of smack you down, but we will. And of course, they acted pretty quickly after that. I don't know if that was in relation to that.
Yeah. So. And also, I mean, again, she also weighed in on the, you know, the way an administrative stay would be reviewed on the standard of is it clearly erroneous, right? Which is a pretty high standard, almost one of the highest next to like plain error. So the court said, look, you know, we've never even, the court, Coney Barrett concurring, said as far as she knew, the court has never ruled on the issue of administrative stays and whether it had been granted erroneously or properly. And, you know, she sort of turned on, well, would erroneously enjoining the enforcement, would that be worse than erroneously lifting the injunction? And again, you have to sort of makes your head spin as you go through the procedural stuff. But the issue is that the circuit court should be able to control its own docket. But I think the court signaled, like, within reason, right?
Yeah. One point she said,
this wasn't clearly erroneous, but you know what? You know, don't push us.
And apparently it's not just this case. There have been a number of other instances, which I think maybe plays into that. Because at one point, Barrett says, hey, it's been a couple of weeks now, guys. So there's that. But like you said, now we're back at the point where this law is not being enforced. And you mentioned Sotomayor's dissent joined by Jackson. And essentially, they dissented when it was at the Supreme Court because they basically argued that they looked at the merits, right? They weren't, said on the merits, this is essentially allowing Texas to make its own immigration law. That's not okay. And so therefore we would enjoin this, not on the sort of administrative, but just saying that we think this is likely to fail.
Right. They would have shadow docketed it.
Exactly. Exactly. And just to be clear on the merits of it, as you mentioned, it allows state and local law enforcement to, let's say someone's in Texas and they're suspected of being in Texas illegally, they can arrest them and then either they can give them a choice. Essentially, the judge will say, well, you can either voluntarily agree to this deportation, or you don't have to, it's voluntary. But if you don't agree to it, then we're going to put you in jail for at least 6 months. That's assuming you have no criminal record, basically. And so there's an element, there's not really an element of choice. It's kind of a coerced choice sort of thing. But I think that's part of their way of maybe trying to get around this. Now, Mexico has said, hey, we wouldn't accept anyone.
We won't take them back.
Yeah, exactly. So, but to me, this seems pretty clearly problematic constitutionally. Also, I actually read the text of State Bill 4 because that's what you guys are paying me for. That's what I do. But the law actually states that arrest and deportation can occur regardless of whether that person has applied for asylum or is in any other kind of, I guess you'd call it, indeterminate immigration status being reviewed by the federal government. So basically, they're saying, we don't care what the federal government's doing. We don't care what asylum law says. We can deport you. And right there, that's. I think this is pretty clear on the merits, at least to me.
I think the federal government has the much better argument on the merits here. The supremacy clause. I said sovereignty clause there. I'm sorry. I'm still recovering from a goofy week. But yeah, the supremacy clause obviously puts these sort of powers in the federal government. I think there's a question, right? I think there's a political issue for if you're Texas, what do? You got to do something.
Yeah, yeah.
Even if you know you're going to get struck down, I think you say, hey, we give it the best shot. I could quibble that, you know, maybe Texas could have drafted a better law that would have made this a closer question or would have forced the government's hand a little bit on its admissions of what its immigration policy is. But that said, that's not what's before us. Well, nothing's before us, Mike.
Well, I don't even know if Texas is
before the Fifth Circuit, but
I don't even know if Texas really intended, if they actually intended this to ever thought this.
Right, it could have been one of the abortion bills back. You know that you would just make something so outrageous that you would get shot down. But you know you put the issue front and center.
You know what occurred to me, Jay? I want to get, because I was thinking along these lines as well. Like, would there be a way Texas could have drafted this to make it potentially enforceable? All right, and I thought, well, one thing. Okay, so Texas almost certainly cannot constitutionally order deportations out of the country, because that gets into. But what if they gave those convicted of violating this law the option of leaving the jurisdiction? So in other words, say, we don't care if you go to Mexico or Oklahoma or Arizona, but hey, you got to leave Texas.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
There you go. And I thought, that actually that certainly would eliminate the deportation to another country supremacy clause sort of thing. But I don't know how Oklahoma would feel about it, for instance.
I don't know that a state, I think there would be a constitutional problem there of a state sort of banning people from its borders, its jurisdiction. You could say if you remain in this state, you may be subject to arrest, right? That might be the way to do it. But I don't think you can. Yeah, there may be a way to do it. And I think there might be a better way. And I don't mean to denigrate people and the folks in the Texas legislature who drafted this, because I don't know what all they looked at. Right. And I'm sure there were a lot of smart people who probably gave it more thought than I have here on Saturday morning. But yeah, I would have thought there might have been another way to do this that. It makes it even so you could have some sort of a close call, right? Because I do think there is some legitimate police power that a state could exercise over people within their jurisdiction, possibly relating to their immigration status and a violation of federal law.
I think you're right. But the problem
I don't think they did that. Yeah.
That would be limited probably to imprisoning them or detaining them in some way, but not deporting. And that's exactly what Texas
absolutely agree. I don't think a state can deport people. I mean, that's just.
But it's not like Texas really wants. Yeah. The worst case scenario for Texas would be if, hundreds of thousands of migrants come into Texas and they say, okay, jail us for 6 months. Then Texas is like, we don't have the space for this, not the outcome that they would want, obviously.
Yeah. No, I think there should be some sympathy for the Texas legislature, because if you're a Texas politician and you have this crisis going on, people I'm sure are calling your office every day complaining, and it's, to some extent, you can only say, well, hey, not my problem, call your congressman. I think you have to be seen as trying to do something.
Which is why a couple weeks ago, when we talked about Biden and Trump at the border, the Biden's line of, well, my hands are tied, I wish Republicans would give me the authority. That's like the worst thing you could say. Yeah. That's a really bad sort of way to frame it, because you have to try to do something. And certainly this was, Texas doing something that I will predict almost certainly on the merits will be rejected as unconstitutional.
Yeah, no, I think that's probably right. Although I'm remiss, Mike. I did not really read the Fifth Circuit opinion. I didn't do the reading for today. I did some of the reading.
There's a lot of reading for today. Yeah,
it was a 2-1 decision. So someone dissented. Now I don't know exactly what that dissent was on. Now it could be, if I'm guessing, right? Because we're talking about a temporary injunction piece that you would say, well, look, states are given a wide strike zone in terms of keeping legislation on the books, right, and not enjoining the effect of a law. And you've got these, irreparable harm pieces and so forth.
And I think
so
the point
my guess
being,
is it could be that. So it's even there, it might not be on the merits. It could just be on the injunction standard piece.
And when you're looking
and the presumption of constitutionality.
And when you're looking at the harm issue, there's obviously harms that work both ways. And so who exactly is harmed for the status quo? Well, you can argue that certainly the inflow of so many migrants creates a harm to Texas. And how – I see what you're saying.
There's irreparable harm, and there's a presumption of – high presumption of constitutionality of legislation. In fact, to prove something unconstitutional on and the TRO aspect, you've got to show it by – essentially be almost a beyond a reasonable doubt standard, which is like the really weird, it's clear and convincing I shouldn't talk because we're getting into
it. It is a high standard. And so, that's the general point is that we don't necessarily know that it wouldn't be say a 3-0 sort of case on the merits.
But on the injunction, close call goes to the state.
Yeah, exactly. We hope you enjoyed this preview of our supporters exclusive midweek show. If you'd like to hear the rest of the episode, we hope you'll consider becoming a supporter. Supporters get ad-free access to all of our shows, membership in our Politics Guys Discord group where you can join in on the conversation, and other benefits at different levels of support. To become a supporter, go to patreon.com/politicsguys. You can also support us through Venmo, we're @politicsguys, or through PayPal. You'll find all of our support links in the show notes, as well as at politicsguys.com/support. And if you'd like to get the midweek show, but you're not in a position to become a financial supporter, that's not a problem. Just send me an email at mike@politicsguys.com, and I'll be happy to get that set up for you.